We continue talking about the International Literacy Day that is observed every year, September 8th, and this is to remind the public of the importance of literacy as a matter of dignity and human rights and to advance the literacy agenda towards a more literate and sustainable society. Well, to talk more about the situation in South Sudan and the challenges that South Sudan continues to face, I am joined by Isaac Otieno and Christabel Mosonda.
From UNICEF.
You're from UNICEF?
Yes.
Okay. And Otieno is from...
I'm from Save the Children Save International, the Children. Hosting ECW under Multi-Year Resilience Program.
Okay. So why is literacy so important? I'll start with you, Christabel.
Thank you so much, Irene. I think, you know, the importance of literacy cannot be overemphasized. And if I look at the South Sudanese context, I think it's very important because literacy is a foundation for all learning.
Mm.
You know, if children are not literate, if people are not literate, it impacts the way they learn other things. For example, a grade 5 child who doesn't know how to read and write is unable to learn science, is unable to learn history, is unable to learn social studies. So for me, I think it's a foundation for all learning, and that's why it's very important.
That's true. Otieno, why does it matter in South Sudan?
It matters because literacy must come before any other learning can occur. We cannot grow as a society without literacy. Literacy needs a variety of literacies to help them learn to their full potential. And that's something very, very important to the learners. If you look at the current generation, we have aspect of digital literacy and at the foundational level. So if a child in South Sudan has to be able to cope, then he or she has to develop a number of literacy skills to be able to cope, to be able to learn and to be able to catch up and be competitive within the market. And so that is very, very important. It is one of the single foundational skills that for a very successful and quality education to be realized in South Sudan, it must be very, very well factored, and there must be a key and deliberate focus to improving the literacy of learners in South Sudan. Thank you.
Yes, Christabel, the Minister of General Education and Instruction recently launched a report on literacy assessment. What are some of the key findings from that report?
Thank you so much, Irene. I'll mention some, and I'm sure my colleague Isaac can come in.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we saw is that we still have a long way to go, you know, to ensure that, you know, children in school are learning, they're gaining the minimum proficiency skills that are required in literacy. And from the results, we're able to see that it's very clear that boys are still outpacing girls in both literacy and numeracy. So that is, I think, a big challenge that needs to be tackled to ensure that more girls get into school and they acquire these basic skills. We also saw that there are a lot of disparities amongst regions.
Right.
For example, there are states like Zhongli that didn't do very well. So I think it's important that we look into what are those driving factors that are enabling the environment not to really promote literacy skills. For example, we need to look at the conditions in terms of, you know, teacher capacities, in terms of teaching and learning materials, in terms of how teachers are teaching literacy in classes, in terms of, you know, participatory teaching methodologies.
Right.
So I think those are some of the major highlights I can point out in terms of what the findings are telling us. But I'm sure Isaac,
would you like to jump in?
Yeah, sure. With a bit of data from that assessment report, it clearly indicated that literacy rate in South Sudan is at 39.1, with girls coming in at 38.91 and boys at 43.65, clearly pointing out to what Christabel has said in terms of the very, very, generally the literacy levels are very low, but again, the girls are much lower. And so that is a point of concern to education sector, and I believe to the government and all the stakeholders within the sector. But interestingly enough, if you look at the regional parity, it showed that we have low literacy levels in Zhongli at 29.9 and high literacy levels in northern Barghazal at 57.5. And that was very, very interesting, because if you look at the same report that gives us the numeracy rates, for instance, it clearly shows that as much as we have low literacy levels in Zhongli, we have high numeracy levels in Zhongli. So these are very, very interesting findings, and of course there are a number of factors that have contributed to such kind of levels that we still have an opportunity as a sector to be able to address.
Right. Looking at the factors and also how we can address, what are some of the way forwards, Christabel?
Yeah, thank you so much. I think, you know, the problem of literacy is very huge, and as such, you know, the issues that need to be done are also very huge.
Yeah,
I'll cite a few that I feel are very important to help us move that dial in terms of improving literacy rates. The first most important, I think, having children in school. You know, right now, South Sudan has one of the highest rates of out-of-school children. We're standing at 2.8 million currently, and I'm sure this could even be higher if we had to do an assessment. Yeah, so really getting children into school, I think, is very, very of very good concern. We need to ensure that children are getting into school because this is where they're going to improve their literacy skills.
Mm.
And also looking at our teaching workforce, we know that South Sudan has very low numbers of teachers, and at that, most qualified teachers.
Right.
So I think we need to improve our teacher development, ensure that we're training teachers, we're deploying them to where they are needed. I think it's very important. And also ensuring that our schools have access to teaching and learning materials. These are age-appropriate teaching and learning materials,
right?
Because this facilitates, you know, the learning. And ensuring that, building more schools to ensure that classes are, you know, they are decongested. Because right now we have teachers managing classes of over 60, you know. That doesn't really help with the literacy instruction in classes. So those are some of the reasons, I think, factors that we should do to ensure that we move the literacy. And, of course, ensuring that there's a lot of funding to the education sector, because I think this will help us to carry out the interventions that I've just spoken about.
Yes, Isaac.
Yeah. Maybe slightly again to reference to the report. One of the issues that came out clearly as a major factor to poor performance, for instance, I mean, low literacy levels, was the fact that we have a number of children with disability, for instance, that are not able to be included successfully within our systems, that is being inclusive enough in terms of probably infrastructure. So if we can be able to be deliberate about supporting them with assistive devices that can be able to enhance their learning, then that will also be very, very important. I'm happy Christabel has talked about teacher professional capacity development. I think one of the thing that also came out was the fact that teachers are using different methodologies and styles to be able to deliver teaching. This didn't go well with most of the learners, especially we know that we have IDPs and children moving from one region to the other. So this aspect of being exposed to different teaching and learning styles is one of the factors that I think should be addressed through the teacher professional development, such that teachers understand the one methodology. As you could be aware that currently the South Sudan adopted the new curriculum that talks about the learner-centered approach.
Right.
If the learner-centered approach as designed within the curriculum can be delivered in a very unified and uniform way across South Sudan, then that can possibly address a number of those challenges. And lastly, there is also the aspect of the children that have issues, are stressed, have issues of mental health. It's also one of the issues that clearly came out of the report because of different stress. We know that South Sudan has also experienced a number of hazards and shocks previously that has interrupted learning. So if the sector can be able to do, and I know that is being done through a number of programs, I know that multi-year resilience program in South Sudan is at the forefront in trying to address the mental health and psychosocial support to the learners. It can really be very helpful and continue to support the learners in terms of coping mechanisms.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. So, Christabel, how can our listener support literacy efforts in South Sudan?
Absolutely. That's a very, very important question. And I know we've spoken so much about what should go on in the classroom, but I think for now I'll focus on, you know, the normal person, you know, parents at home in terms of how they can support literacy, because sometimes we feel like it's a responsibility of the schools. But I think parents, you know, guardians have a huge role to play to improve the literacy of the children that they are taking care of. So, for example, one of the most important things is to ensure that in a home they create environment that supports literacy, you know, ensuring that our living spaces are print rich, you know, having a lot of books that children can read. And also for those children that are very young, it's important that parents read to their children. You sing to your children, you tell them stories, because that helps them to build that vocabulary. And also ensuring that we take our children to school, because we know that that's a foundation.
Right.
And we know that regardless of who you are in society, you have a role to play to ensure that our upcoming generations is a literate society that will help South Sudan to improve the economy.
Right. Well, thank you so much. Now, Isaac, what do you want our listener to remember from this discussion?
I think what I will want to tell the listeners, especially to the communities, is that we must be able to join hands to break the barriers that impede access to education. Because when we have low access to education, that's where it also affects the literacy levels of learners. We know that we have a number of cultural practices in South Sudan that have really disadvantaged, especially the girl child. If we can be able to join hands and be able to collectively break them down, then that can be able to help. But of course, we are also still working hand in hand and calling upon the government to enhance their efforts to do monitoring and supervision in schools, support capacity building of teachers and infrastructure development as part of sustainable solutions to our education system. But we also continue to call and call upon the donor community, especially the education donor community, who have been very, very instrumental. We know that USAID has been so much on the forefront in supporting education. We know that FCDU have so much been on the forefront, Global Aid Canada, CEDA, NORAD, and Denmark government. So we continue to call upon them to continue supporting, because we know that they have done a lot in the previous years. We have seen, we have realized a number of gains within the sector, supporting the government, supporting education partners. So we continue to call upon them to ensure that we bring all our children, 2.8 million children. It's our responsibility. We owe it to them. Children of South Sudan, as a matter of right, not a favor,
right.
And that is the my parting shot. That the children of South Sudan have a right to education, entrenched in the constitution and globally. So we owe them that ability to be able to take all of them to school, and we continue to thank all that have brought in such efforts led by the Minister of General Education and Instruction.
Right, thank Isaac you. And Christobel, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.